Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Dave. It's a pleasure to once again be with you here on a Thursday or whatever day you happen to be listening. Certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much. And welcome to the 11th episode of the Dave Holly Hour podcast. So this is the, you know how I like to, kind of give them titles and so forth. For those of you that grew up in the Sioux Falls area, watching Sioux Falls television, we're going to call this one the Captain 11 episode, okay? Yes, the late, great Dave Dedrick, who started off as a disc jockey for KELO, where eventually I did work for a few years. Then he was a weatherman at Kello TV, and then for 41 years, he was Captain 11, one man in each century, blah, 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 blah. And a great show, kids show, after school show for the most part. Eventually it moved to some weekend time slots and so forth. But it was a wonderful deal. And I tell you what, he was a great guy. He had his troubles. You will find that if you've ever read the book, It Ain't All Cartoons, because Captain 11 played cartoons, but Dave had a lot of things that he was involved in, shall we say. But I still remember at his 75th birthday party, I was lucky enough and honored enough to be there, and Monsignor Doyle was giving the invocation. And that birthday party also basically turned into a roast. Well, Monsignor Doyle was saying that we know that Dave had his issues with the bottle, but please, Lord, don't let him give up smoking. We'd rather see him burn here on earth than in the hereafter after. All right, so there was a lot of fun stuff that took place that night. And Doug Lund also roasted him that night. And Doug was a great friend of his because they were on the news for so many years together on Channel 11. And Doug affectionately calls him Hugo. Someday we're going to have a sit down with Doug Lund on this show and let him tell you about Hugo, Dave Dedrick, Captain 11. Now, the thing that I want to bring out about him, first of all, you know, that was an early form of entertainment for kids in this area. So it was remembered fondly by myself and many others for the fact that, it had cartoons. And then, let's see, right after that, usually it was Gilligan's Island that came on, too. So it was a good hour in your after-school time filled with just some, fun, wholesome goodness that was taking place. And, again, it was basically an introduction in many ways to entertainment. Now, the thing that I learned years after, I would take a look at some of the early clips of Dave Dedrick, not as Captain 11, not as the weatherman, but as a man doing live stand-up advertising, commercials, TV spots, live stand-up, and he was a master. He was something to take a look at and go, wow, that is true talent. And I'm glad that I was able to interview him one time, to be at his 75th birthday party many years ago. The late, great Dave Dedrick, he was Captain 11, one man in each century. And he was one of a kind, that is for sure. Anywho, it's the 11th episode, and it's going to be a short episode because we've got the holidays crunching on us right now. In fact, we are now down to less than 1 week until Christmas. Wow! How the time do fly, huh? Anyway, it's going to be a short episode as mentioned, but we're still going to have a good time. And in the meantime, one of the things that so many of you know that I do is pass along a honorable mention, something that tickled my fancy bone or tickled my funny bone, shall we say, or just was something of a great little bit that took place during the week, has to go out to a little girl that I have no idea what her name is or who her parents are. But Sunday morning, my wife and I had gone out for breakfast to Josiah's, and we were then going to church afterward. And when we left Josiah's, we were walking across the street to the parking ramp where we had parked, and this little girl is being carried by her dad. And she says, "Daddy, it's Santa Claus." And so I did the old ho-ho-ho. And she said, "See, Dad, it's Santa." All right. Well, we hope to bring you some gifts here on the Dave Holly Hour podcast. Not just only this show, but all throughout. We are looking so forward to 2020. Got a lot of things on the docket that are coming your way. But on the docket next right here is Roger Ellingson. He is a local artist. And we happened to have a conversation on Monday then at Josiah's. We thank Josiah's for being there and always supporting the local arts and entertainment. So Roger Ellingson, local artist, he is next here on the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everybody. It is a fine time around the city, the holidays, everybody getting prepared and so forth, and we just want to be thankful for all that we have, and especially for the arts and entertainment community around the Sioux Empire. It is thriving. Have been to some more great shows over the past weekend, more to come, and so many great things. But don't forget to take time, if you're not going to a theatrical show, to go someplace and view some art. Those things that hang on the wall that make you stand in front of them sometimes, go, I like that. Or, I wonder what they were trying to get across on that. Well, we're going to talk art now with a local artist, Roger Ellingson. Great to have you along here on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And how would you describe your art? I know you work watercolors and acrylic for the most part, correct?
And it's hard to describe beyond that. I like doing cityscapes. I do landscapes, but basically a good share of my work is from this area up and down Phillips, kind of the downtown area.
Yeah. And if you hear a lot of noise in the background, that's because we happen to be recording this today, Josiah's, and you've painted a picture of Josiah's.
Well, yeah, about a year ago. Yeah. They had pumpkins out front, corn jocks, all kinds of things.
It was looking very fallish, yeah. Huh? Yeah. And what is it that draws you to the colors? What makes you go, you know, because I'm sitting here looking at some of your postcards and some of your work, and it's phenomenal.
Well, I worked more in like printmaking, mm-hmm. blacks, browns, whites, and that was almost the extent of it. And I've always been, I'm pretty much an amateur artist. I've kind of done this, I've hidden this through the years. And just kind of started doing small watercolors downtown, little tiny, mm-hmm. maybe 7 or 8 inches across.
Yeah.
And found out I enjoyed sitting in locations instead of taking photographs.
Okay.
So I tried to find a spot. And I think, you know, just recently I've started looking more at color theory and that type of thing, and I'm realizing how much I don't know. And I don't know if that's going to improve or hinder what I do. Because a lot of times I'll just do this blast of color. If something's red, I'll make it brighter red, or okay. if something's brown, I'll make it, you know, a more vibrant brown. And now all of a sudden I've run into some people that, oh, no, you have to know color theory and you have to analyze it more. I'm not sure. I'm starting to do that, but I haven't quite gotten there.
Well, are you in a conundrum in that way that is like, okay, yeah, I want to learn, I want to know more, but by the same token, kind of like what I'm doing?
I think I'm leaning toward I like what I'm doing more than anything.
Yeah. So when you started doing this after being in the black and white era for the most, or not era, but in that genre for the most part, you start the watercolors, did you immediately look at it and go, I like this, I want to keep doing it?
Yep, little by little, just kind of did it, hit and miss, and kind of through the years, well, now I'm retired, but kind of as I got older, it seemed like I was doing more and more of it, and then kind of branched into acrylics. I've avoided oils, I've tried it and really don't enjoy it.
Yeah, I am not an artist by any means, but I have heard that oil is a very difficult medium to work with.
And acrylic and watercolor, one thing they have in common, they're both water-based, and they dry pretty fast, and maybe it's painting outside, but you learn to work pretty fast.
True.
And oil seems like a more...
That's going to have some time intensiveness, isn't it?
Yeah. You can build in a few hours for paint to dry or days or weeks.
Yeah. Also with a water base, a lot easier cleanup too, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
So you've done some, as we like to call them, or you like to call them, cityscapes. What attracts you to that?
Some of it might be just almost reminiscent of, you know, I grew up in Sioux Falls, moved away for quite a while, but came back and realized what a great city we have.
We do.
I really do like Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
But I started looking around here as an adult, and there were places I knew as a kid. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and at the time, I think Sioux Falls is a very safe city. I think it still is. And we went to First Congregational down here. It's a downtown church. I took piano lessons downtown. You know, just maybe in second grade, I'd be taking the bus downtown.
Really?
After school. And that wasn't a big thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd wander through the library annex, they called it, was over here. So I'd wander through downtown. So I kind of wandered these streets as a grade schooler. And now you wouldn't. Now it'd be almost child abuse, I think, if you let your kid wander around on
True.
Yeah. But kind of got to know a lot of the buildings and what was here in terms of shops and major structures. And then when I started painting, I kind of thought back to how they used to be. I have a couple paintings that are kind of from the past. But it's halfway
reminiscing,
memory as much as anything else. I don't really have a realistic style. I mean, you can look at it and say, there's Shriver's, there's, you know, this First Federal, whatever building you're looking at. But I kind of change it just to suit what I either remember or what I want.
Uh-huh.
So I change colors a little bit. I'm looking at these two pictures you have in front of you. And I see Shriver's, and one picture has a totally different arrangement, different number of floors than another. I make some buildings much taller than they are in real life. And it's just kind of whatever happens
at that moment. That's part age, too, isn't it? That you remember back that things seemed bigger?
That might be.
Yeah. I know my father always used to talk about that, of a house that he grew up in a small town.
Oh, seemed much bigger.
Yeah, and then he'd go back, and it's like, this is small. Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes I don't plan things out enough. Some people plan every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of times I'll just keep going. So if I'm doing U.S. Bank over there on Dakota, I know in a couple of paintings it looks like it has about 20 stories instead of maybe 10 like it has. And it's just kind of whatever fits at the time.
Do you have any paintings that have the weather ball in them?
A couple.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Because that's nostalgia. I mean, it's still around.
Yeah. It's not turned on.
No.
Ever.
Nobody ever really knows about it. So that's a Sioux Falls historian type of picture then. And so what got you started? I mean, you talked about the fact you were doing piano lessons and so forth. But
well, I took a little painting back in college. No, actually, I didn't do painting. I took some art in college.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Augustana for a couple of years and took some art classes, mostly design, like intro to design, from Ogden Dalrymple. And he's the Dalrymple of
Dalrymple. Right, Dalrymple.
And he was kind of a taskmaster. You didn't sit down and do a painting or a drawing. It was more just learning how to apply color consistently, how to carve things, how to, you know, look at different things. So it was all theory almost, very little on really producing anything. And that stuck with me. I mean, just he really got things going. One memory of him, about the last time I saw him, he and Heidi, I think, the other Palmer Heidi.
Okay.
They were both probably about 80 years old, sitting up on a scaffold about 3-4 stories tall, carving limestone blocks on the back of the Augustana Library. And they had their lunch up there, and they just spent the day perched on this tower. And that was kind of how they approached art.
Right.
And got off to that start, but never majored in art.
And really hadn't done anything prior to that, prior to college?
Oh, I mean, other than the required...
High school, yeah, okay. Just kind of did a lot of drawing. There I like printmaking and drawing, those two things more than anything. Went to college elsewhere, did a little drawing. And then after that, just lived in Wyoming, Montana. So you had to...
You had some scapes to look at,
but I wish I would have done a lot more, because I do, you know, drawing today, and I might do another one in about 6 months, and so just nothing consistent. Came back here and took a printmaking class from Susan Hartenhoff, who is a pretty successful, now she's an oil painter, but she was a printmaker more, and kind of got going, took watercolor from Mary Selvig, who was an artist here in town. She does framing and art. And that was my first little exposure to watercolor. I taught at Summit Oaks, which is a residential treatment center, and we were under the school district. And we had our subject areas, and we would have art teachers, music teachers come in for an hour a week, 2 hours a week, whatever we needed, just all these specials. And then also one year they said, well, we aren't going to do that anymore. You guys are going to do art, some kind of extra thing. So I kind of got assigned art class, just like one maybe middle school art class. So that's where I really started painting, just little examples almost for students.
Right. So you were the teacher, but did you learn from that too?
Well, and that's where I actually kind of learned to paint, just from looking into how do you do it and what do you do with color and that type of thing. And then just started there's a local group, it varies, you know, there's not an official group, but plein air painters, people who paint outside on location. And they always had events at Palisades State Park every spring. They'd have stuff at the falls, just kind of around town. And then that continues today. And that's really what got me going, was just trying it out. I remember going to the Palisades. First time I wanted to do it, but I really didn't want somebody looking over my shoulder. So I was painting, you know, like out in the middle of a field, pretty much. There was a little rock formation, so I was at a point where nobody would wander by. And then all of a sudden, his name's Jim Pollock, who's a painter from up in Pier now. He wandered by. You know, so that caught me off guard. And so he kind of talked me into, no, you want to just jump in and do it. And so his thing was just try it. And the plein air painters, that seems to be a common thing, is just go ahead and do it. Like if you sit down in a chair out here and say out in front of Josiah's, you got to do something. You can't just sit there. So then you just start painting.
So obviously you've talked about to some of the people you've had classes with and taken the classes from, learned from. Who else as an artist inspires you?
I belong to East Bank Art Gallery, and there's a couple. Well, Carl Grupp belonged to one time and never took a classroom, but he was always encouraging. He'd have little pointers, and he did it in a, I don't know about a nice way, but you could accept it. Bob Aldern was a member there. They really kind of gave some good technical pointers. Right now, like John Nelson, Cheryl Longseth, there are different artists over there. Also, I'm drawing blanks.
No, that's fine.
Jim Moreau. And what's nice is it's more just conversation where there's kind of a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being critiqued.
Or instructed.
Just recently I sat through some critiques of paintings, and boy, I don't know if I can accept having somebody say, okay, this. And they were very nice about it, but still, I think I'd be intimidated. I did a fun thing past couple winters, and going to this winter too. up in northern Minnesota, the outdoor painters in Minnesota have a week-long workshop, or it's not a workshop, it's more just a time to paint, up north of Grand Marais,
okay,
which is right on the Canadian border, right, almost. So you're on the Gunflint Trail about a mile out of Canada. It's last week in January and first week in February, usually. And about 30 people show up. And a lot of times, some of the best painters up in Minneapolis go up. They aren't doing anything else right at that point in the year. So you get a chance to paint with some of the absolute best outdoor painters, I think, in the country. And you're just sitting there, you know, it's not a class.
Uh-huh.
You're just kind of all painting together and comparing notes.
Okay.
The night lasts about 15 hours, so you sit there and just visit about different things you did. And it's a challenge, that, you know, like trying to paint at 20 below.
I was just going to say, how do you paint when you've got gloves that have to be about 3 inches thick?
Well,
you learn?
You either pull your hands out or else you just, you know, go ahead and do it.
One brush stroke at a time.
And everybody's come up with tricks about how to keep paint from freezing up.
Right, yeah. That's,
and you know it's going to freeze.
But, yeah.
But little by little, you just start putting together these little experiences that you kind of build on. You aren't even aware of it.
What lies ahead of you? What have you not done that you want to do in the art world?
Well, that's where I'm kind of looking more at. Since I've kind of put this together just in bits and pieces, I'm thinking more about, okay, what are some real theories in terms of composition, in terms of color theory? I've been dealing some with some watercolorists lately that watercolor I've always thought it had too many rules. You know, it seemed like there were, you know, you do it this way, you do it this way. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to do it that way. But now I'm realizing some of those rules really are important. And I think once you master those, you can go ahead and do a lot more on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that base. So I'm trying to kind of plug in those spots that I missed over the years. So I think right now I'm going to more of a learning phase, I think.
Okay. And any other types of mediums that you want to be working in?
Just recently started doing, they're called monotypes, but they're monoprints where you do, it's kind of a cross between printing and painting. And you can use ink, you can use acrylics, you can use watercolor, that's a little tougher. But basically, you paint a painting on a surface, on a plastic surface, on a piece of wood, whatever it is, and you can make one, maybe two prints from it.
Okay.
But if you have, like, ink that is still wet, you put a piece of paper on it, you can run through a press, or you can just use spoons or hands.
So you'll sign those, and it'll say one of two?
Or usually one of one. So it's a print, but it's a single edition type print.
Excellent.
And a lot of my stuff is too tight. I mean, it's like I don't do the flowing, free, you know, watercolor type things. And this, the way it prints out, it kind of adds a lot more texture. It adds a lot more mistakes that might turn out to be kind of nice when you look back. So it's more just adds a little freedom to printmaking. So it brings together the printmaking and painting that I've always liked doing.
The art community in this town and this area has grown greatly.
Oh, it's tremendous.
And there's so many things. Where do you like to go to view other things?
You know, because I belong to East Bank, I always go there on First Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you miss a lot of other events.
True.
But there are places that, even like Envy Gallery and Studio, or Envy Studio over here.
Right.
On 11th and Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hair salon, but she has one of the best art collections around.
No kidding.
All kinds of stuff in there. You go to Myers Deli, they have original art a lot of times. Just the different galleries. I always like going to Rayfeld's. There are people there, Steve Randall with his landscapes.
And then Matt Jorgensen, in terms of the owner of Rayfeld's. Yeah. Great guy to be around, too. And my wife and I live close to Kalati's.
Yep.
And we're over there, and such great artwork in there, too.
Oh, all the coffee shops have a display area.
Right.
And new ones are opening up. I know Luna.
Yes.
Up on North Phillips. Yep. They're looking for artists to come in now. There's always the Augustana has galleries. University of Sioux Falls. You know, there's big major galleries, but there's also the little nooks and crannies.
True.
Where you find sometimes small pieces or sometimes gigantic paintings in some of these walls.
I guess the point I wanted to get across is the fact that this community has embraced the art community now. Where it used to be kind of, that's art and so forth. But
and some of it, I think, is the business community is realizing art is a part of it.
Yeah.
At East Bank, we I don't know if it's volunteering or what you'd call it, but we have to do our shifts since we're a co-op. And we've talked about how it's amazing how there's days when we get more people from out of state than we do local people. Yeah, the local people kind of assume, okay, yes, there's art all around Sioux Falls, but and we'll go
maybe
to
not
it
a some, destination.
Where we get people from San Francisco, Atlanta, New York, you name it, where they've looked on travel sites, they've seen, oh, there are art galleries around, and they actually are making stops in Sioux Falls kind of to see the art.
Right.
And then we tie in with Sculpture Walk, which really draws in people.
True.
And all of a sudden, we're kind of becoming part of the business community here, I think.
And you talked about the fact that you had done some teaching in some elementary ages or middle
school?
Older. Okay. But how do you inspire young artists now?
I don't know. I've never considered myself an art teacher. I've tried a few things. Over First Congregational, we've started doing some little groups, mostly watercolor, just kind of for the fun of it. And I have a hard time saying, do it this way, or here's what you can do different. So a lot of times it's more just, let's go do it.
Okay.
And it's amazing what people do when they, like I said, you have just sit down and go ahead and, okay, for the next 2 hours, we're just going to paint in here.
What about
inspiring. I know I left things behind. When I left college, I kind of left it behind. And that happens too often where you get people that, even with art majors, that maybe don't continue into the adulthood. And then you get a lot of people my age, you know, they're kind of getting to retirement. They start painting again or get back into art. Somehow, I think we have to get people to kind of consistently keep producing things.
Right.
Because a lot of us just
make
learning,
a lifetime.
Learning by doing it. And with all the different galleries and that type of thing in Sioux Falls now, I think we're getting to the point where if there's a 22-year-old out there pretty consistently painting or doing prints or whatever they're doing, you know, sculptures, there's a, I hate to say market, but there's a receptive audience out there. And that's a change. You know, you don't have to go to Minneapolis for art. You don't have to go to Omaha.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, aside from painting and artwork, what do you like to do? Spare time? Hobbies?
Well, painting is kind of my hobby. I consider that. I have just kind of a little part-time job, but that, you know, fills up a little time.
Good.
Haven't, since retirement, I really haven't had any trouble filling up time, whether it's camping or some traveling and...
Yeah, good for you. Well, Roger, thank you so much for spending some time today. Appreciate it greatly, and you've got some phenomenal work. Where can people see it currently?
Right now, till January 10th, there's a display over at Augustana at the Center for Western Studies, and it's all Sioux Falls scenes. It's called Sioux Falls in Color, and I kind of went overboard on trying to keep things pretty bright. A lot of band, like marching band type pictures. Uh-huh. And different scenes. East Bank, you can always stop by there. And I usually have stuff, say, over at Envy Studios.
All right.
But I had, for the Augustana show, I had to pull stuff from all over the place.
How many pieces are in that one?
Over 40.
Wow.
And some are big for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of worked from small to large now.
All right.
Well, I'm going back to small, I think, for a while.
Sounds like a deal. We look forward to it no matter what size it might be. Yep. But thank you so much, Roger. Appreciate it. And we've got more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health and spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
All right, welcome back. Hey, great to have you along, and thank you. And please forgive me that this is a much shorter version of the Dave Holly Hour, more like a half hour, I know. I do apologize, but as you can tell by the voice, it's been a couple of rough weeks, you know, and I know that a lot of this stuff is going around. Sorry to hear if you're dealing with it as well, but I still at least wanted to get a program on the air. Thank you again to Roger Ellingson for spending some time with us and to take in his artwork and make sure, you know, that during the holidays, not only do you go see something in terms of a theatrical production or a movie or take in some fun things as a family, but take some time to look at art and enjoy it and interpret it and determine what type of things you like when it comes to art. And maybe, you know, even give that as a gift, shall we say? All right. So again, I thank you, and I beg your forgiveness. Next week may be a little short, too, as we get into the 2020 year. But at least we'll talk about a bunch of things we're hoping to accomplish here on this program in 2020. In the meantime, what I just wanted to finish with today was just to say happy holidays, no matter what holiday you may be enjoying. Just make sure you keep it safe, keep it fun, keep it lighthearted, and keep it filled with joy, no matter how you may worship, no matter who or what you may worship. Just make sure that it's a good time for all. As for myself, I do worship for Christmas, and I will be headed to a Christmas Eve service next week at 10 o'clock in the evening. Normally, I wouldn't do that. Normally, I'm in bed about that time, but I will be doing so because earlier in the evening, I will be, well, I'll just be donning a red velvet suit, shall we say. So that's a part of the thing that I've done for many, many years. I enjoy it greatly. It provides me a lot of great satisfaction and some fun stories, too. And I just heard one recently that I will not repeat for someone else that's played Santa. And the first time that he ever played Santa, it is a hoot. And sometime if we ever have him on the show, maybe he'll pass that along. But I wouldn't want to pass it along without his permission, that's for sure. But Christmas memories for me have always been a big part of my life. I'm a December birthday guy, so it's a part of my life in that regard. And I've always loved having a December birthday along with Christmas. Now, I did learn how to play a game years ago when I was a kid. When I got to be, you know, double digits or toward teenage years and so forth, Mom and Dad would start saying, "So, son, do you want one big gift or do you want two small gifts?" So I said, you know, one big gift would be great. And it was, especially since my folks just couldn't resist still getting me one for Christmas. But I grew up in a household that really enjoyed Christmas, did a lot of decorating, lots of fun times decorating cookies as well, baking cookies. Mom is a tremendous baker. She doesn't do so anymore, has a place that she's an assisted living. So that's not part of what she does anymore for the holidays, but when she did it better than anybody else. And even coworkers of mine will tell you, because it wasn't all that many years ago that she stopped making her party mix, and the party mix was A number one. And again, I have people that will vouch for that are not related or weren't part of the family. One of the other great things that I remember, you know, because we talk entertainment, arts and entertainment on this program. Every Christmas season in the small town of Rock Rapids, when I was a youngster, they would have movies, free movies on Saturday, back when the town had a local theater. And that was so that
the parents could go shopping during the Christmas season. Kids would be dropped off and enjoy a movie. And one movie I will always remember, because I still watch it now in my upper 50s, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. What an amazing movie that was for me. And I still consider it as one of my favorites. And the other thing that I always remember about going to the movies, especially then when I got, you know, in high school age and so forth, and would go to the features at night during the Christmas break. My family friend, Verlin Vermeer, was a co-owner of Crown Jewelers Jewelry Store. And, you know, long before they started coming up with the big full-length advertisements at a movie theater, quite often all they had were just slides. And I will always have this in my mind every time that I hear the song Sleigh Ride. Because one time going to a movie, an evening feature at the Rapids Theater in Rock Rapids, Iowa, Verlin Vermeer's Crown Jewelers was the slide advertising for the holiday season. And the song, the instrumental Sleigh Ride, was in the background. And that's always been something I recall, and it's a fond memory. Verlin is still alive, as is his wife, Mary, who is a dear, dear lady. Another December birthday, by the way. She's just a superb person that I grew up across the street from the Vermeers for a few years before they moved to a different part of town. So fond memories there. And also the fact that the Rapids Theater, they are continuing to work on that, hoping to bring some things back to that. And once they start getting a little further along the line, we'll talk about that place as well. Some fun, fun times. And you would be amazed at what the building actually houses. But that's for a future show, but also for a future show talking about theaters being renovated. The State Theater here in Sioux Falls. My first official date was at the State Theater. Took a young lady to the classic movie, Any Which Way But Loose, with Clint Eastwood and an orangutan by the name of Clyde. But we'll talk about the State Theater sometime in 2020 as well. In the meantime, forgive the whole raspy voice. Thank you so much for what you have brought to my heart and soul this holiday season and since the beginning of the show on October 10th. I certainly appreciate it. Happy holidays, one and all. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday. Talk to you next week.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.